today I am going to be speaking about group life. Each term we start new groups and continue old groups through, but we have an opportunity at the beginning of every term to sign up to the groups for everyone in the church. We really value community here and connecting together. But before I go there, I want to introduce a really exciting adventure and mission that we're going to go on. As many people know, we run a CAP centre. We partnered with CAP, Christians Against Poverty, to start a money course about 7 or 8 years ago. We started running the CAP money course, training people how to budget their money from the church and in the community. And then we decided 5 years ago to partner with CAP a bit more, in fact, in a really, really big way, to run a debt center which reaches into the community and works with people who are really, really struggling with debt, really just being chased by bailiffs. And Christina does a wonderful job of reaching out into the community there. We get loads of testimonies of God's goodness just breaking in, whether it be through a practical thing or a spiritual thing at the same time, of God breaking into people's lives. But we wanted to take it another step further. CAP have come out with new models of outreach, and they've come out with something called release groups. Now, we know that lots of people in our community have life-controlling habits and addictions, and we want to run a course which will enable us to help people break free from the chains of addictions. So I'm just going to play a DVD, and then I'm going to get Michelle and Alan up, who are going to lead it. But watch the DVD.
You've no idea about people's past from what they look like. I was destitute, poor, living in one room with two kids on camp beds. I was struggling to feed them, hounded by debts, struggling with drink. I was a violent guy, poor relationships, lost his marriage. I mean, it didn't get much worse. It was the church and the people in that church and the way that the church went that completely changed my life. People change people. Creating the group around dependencies and addictions, it's all introducing people to people.
When I started the release group, it was a matter of focusing on what the addiction is that you have, what is it that you believe is the problem. And mine was obviously alcohol. If I'm honest, I don't remember much in my 20s because all my life back then was just drink related. But I just lost all hope. Came about the release group because I contacted CAP. Yeah, I'll be honest, it might have been the fact I knew that I'd probably have something to eat there and a drink that got me through the door. The course that's available can work for anybody. The guy that ran it was brilliant. You know, what you put into it, you get out of it. And every week, I look forward to going.
Our course is a book, but in the hands of a person with a heart for others, with an opportunity to create true community and honesty, there lies the key of transformation in people's lives, and we just get to see it every single day.
So as a church, we've always had a passion to reach those who are most vulnerable, and particularly those with addictions. But what we found is we're doing as much as we can, but we didn't have the tool to help us. And what we found with the CAP release, it's given us a real ideal tool, a real structure, and also the training provided is superb, and it's enabled more of the congregation to be part of what we're doing. But it's not just the CAP release, it's part of our wider community of welcoming people in. And as a result of that, we've been able to welcome even more people and support even more people in our community.
Love the people in your community. Be a place of refuge, be a sanctuary, be a place of education, help and support. What's taking place can be at a different level. It could be really, really deep. There could be somebody sat there who says nothing for 2 hours, but in those 2 hours, their entire life has been laid bare.
I think the release group really worked for me because it learned a lot about myself. My life has changed from where it was. It's kind of a picture of madness to every day. To me, it is a perfect day. Since the release group, yeah, not touched a drop.
What I love most of all is our baptism services now, where you hear the stories of people who have coming through and out of their addiction, and then of course bringing their friends or their relatives along to the next course. So it's a joy, and it's helping to grow our church.
We have churches from 30 upwards. We work with churches of 40, 50, 60. We've got churches of hundreds. We've got a few thousand strong churches. We're here to release, whatever that means, for whoever's there.
So exciting, isn't it? So we have sent Michelle and Alan up to Bradford to get trained to run these courses. So I just want to get them up. Yeah, give them a clap. Do you want to stand on this side? Okay, so I've prepared them with some questions. So Michelle, just the first question. OK, Can you tell us a little bit about Release Groups, how it runs, when we're going to start it, and just a, yeah, just a little bit of a background to it?
I will. Unaccustomed as I am to public speaking, I've got a few notes because I get a bit nervous. So CAP Release will hopefully be launched here on the 6th of October. And it's a free 8-week course. It's open to anyone, regardless of their religion, their background, or their age. So it could be you or someone that you know. It's designed to tackle life-controlling dependencies, such as gambling, eating habits, alcohol and drugs. And it's based on the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous that's been going since 1938 and is shown to be successful with working with people with a number of addictions. It's a safe, confidential and non-judgmental place, and you work alongside others that are struggling with the same things as you are. So that makes it much easier if you can identify with somebody in the room. And it also offers one-to-one coaching to support the individual to achieve their personal goals. So I've summarised their main priorities, which are to build relationships with people who are seeking help, to provide a warm and compassionate and, where possible, confidential community, to help people as they work towards a dependency-free life, and to provide an opportunity for people to be brought to, into a relationship with Jesus if they aren't so already.
Fantastic. So it's gonna run for an 8-week period starting on the 6th of October. Okay.
It'll be 9 weeks with the 6th of October, because the first week is like a launch thing where people come and find out about the course.
We have other agencies coming as well. Fantastic. Yeah. So many people don't know Michelle and Alan, but they both have really personal testimonies as to why this is really powerful. And I just thought it'd be really helpful if they shared. So would you mind just sharing a little bit about why you're so passionate about this?
No. From the age of 13, I had a dependency on alcohol. I'd become a Christian in my late 20s, and many years ago I was sitting in a church just like you, and I had my best clothes on. I'd had my breakfast, which consisted of a small bottle of Lucozade, 2 travel sick pills and 2 paracetamols, and that was like a weekly occurrence. And in my hand, I was shaking because I was withdrawing from alcohol from the night before. I had clutched a packet of extra strong mints, which I ate one after the other because I knew that I stank of alcohol. And I struggled with shame for so many years because I thought, if I really am a Christian, why am I behaving like this? I must be so bad. And the pastor at the front of the church said they wanted to pray for people that wanted healing. And at that point, I just thought, I need help with this. And I went forward and I got prayer. And after church, somebody came up and spoke to me, and they took me to a meeting where they used these 12 steps. So I know that these work, because on the 11th of August this year, I'd lived my life a day at a time without alcohol. So I know Jesus can set you free, you know. And I this thing that I struggled with about why was I drinking when I was a Christian, you know, for me, I was reading this week in the book of John about when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And I believe when I asked Jesus to come, he came and he rose me to eternal life, you know. But when Lazarus came out of the tomb, he still had to be unwrapped from his grave clothes. And my alcoholism was just one of my grave clothes. I'm sure there's still more to come off, but I know Jesus can do it.
And just before... How many years sober?
I'm 18 years sober.
Fantastic. So good. So good. Alan, can you just share a little bit of your kind of passion and why?
Yeah. Two of my sons have had drug addiction problems for quite a long time. My first son, Glenn, is now clean, and he lives in Bournemouth, and 3 grandchildren, and he's fine, and he's been through the rehabs. My second son, Thomas, who's had a drug addiction problem for about 20 years now, is actually going to a rehab again very soon, probably in the next couple of weeks. So I'm coming from a different angle to Michelle, but I do understand addiction, and I do know that you can beat it by believing in Jesus Christ and doing the 12-step program. That's good. I mean, some addictions can have an effect on not only yourself, but your family and friends. In some cases, you can lose your job, your family, your home, and any self-esteem you may have had. The 12-step program believes in a higher power, and for us, that is Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's good.
Michelle and I believe that through a belief in Jesus Christ, your life choices can be changed forever.
Yeah. Amen.
And
that's so good.
Where we're coming from.
So good. Thank you so much. Both of these guys have such loving and big hearts towards people, and they're just, when people come into their presence, they'll just know a real love, and the love of God coming from them and to them, and it'll be really powerful. Alan, can you just tell us how the church can support and be involved?
Yeah. You're if people awake? Want to help and get involved, we need befrienders who are Christians and love Jesus, with an ability to spread the gospel. A commitment to this programme, which initially will be an 8-week course or 9 weeks, as Michelle was saying, roughly 2 hours a week on a Friday evening, maybe a bit longer, cooking, praying for a cat release group. There's so many things that Michelle and I need support, and we're just hoping that people come forward and offer their services, and we can talk to them a bit more about what you actually need to do or what we would like you to do.
So specifically, they want you want to run a meal every time?
Every
and you're
Friday.
You're going to need someone to help you make meals for about 8 to 10 people,
Right? if we fill the
release group. So if anyone's a fantastic chef, sign up. See that panel.
It's not me, as you all know.
There's a budget as well, so we can pay for it, so as long as you don't go to Waitrose. And you want people to pray for you and stand with you in it?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we need a lot of people to come along and pray for the people in the release group.
Fantastic. So although it's Pat and Pat and Alan, Pat and Michelle. Yeah. Pat and Michelle.
Alan and Michelle.
Yeah. I reckon Pat's going to be involved.
Let's just go
with that.
Yeah.
So although they're the ones leading it, it's a whole church thing. This is what we're going after. We're going after transformation in this community. We're going after salvation, and we're going after the presence of God. And this course will really, really lead people into those places, and it's just really incredible. Can we just pray for you? Chris, could I just get you to come up to pray for them briefly? Yeah, could everyone just stand? And just, Chris, could you just lead a
Kia Corner. Michelle, I've spent quite a number of months with you, and as you were talking about being sober for 18 years, I'm so, so proud of you, and the challenges that you've gone through. And I just want to remind you that I've said that to you many times, that you are a rose. You are a rose, and you give out the fragrance of rose, and that fragrance of rose will attract people that has no hope, but then that fragrance that just will just transform them. And Alan, for you, I always sense that, you know, you're going to be the father to these people that you're going to bring in. And I just sense that God is just like, you're going to need these people with no father figure that is going to come and see you as a father, and your loving kindness and the way you show them love, you will just transform them and let them question, you know. Right, I got someone here that loves me who they don't understand, and that will draw them even closer. Closer to Jesus for their salvation. And I just felt like whatever you're doing, God just want you to know that you are so loved and that He's behind you. And I just sense also Lord wants to say that do not fear to take risk. And He loves to see you guys Calm taking risk. And I just also feel about collectively, not just the release group, but what we are doing together, we are going to build, like Nehemiah, rebuilding the walls for this community, and that's going to bring life into this community. And even as I'm speaking, there is this green leaf actually shooting in between here, and that is life, and that is going to be life that is going to be transformed. Father Lord, we just want to commit Michelle and Ellen over to you right now. I just want to say thank you. Right now we're standing together with them, not just to pray for everything that comes into place, but we just want to stand together with them, declaring victories right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We want to declare, Lord, breakthrough in every single person that walk into the release group, Lord. We just say that, Lord, life comes into them, and we thank you for the transformation that we are going to see in them. And I thank you, Lord, that even at this time, as Michelle and Ellen's walking through all this logistic, Lord, that they will find your love, and that they will draw even closer to you. And I thank Thank you, Lord. Together, the team will bring heaven to earth. Amen. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. It's so good. Thank you, Jesus. Excellent. Give them a clap as they go back. Isn't it amazing when people feel free to share their vulnerabilities and weaknesses in front of us?
Yeah.
As Christians, we're not called to be perfect people. We're called to be on that journey with Jesus Christ, and he perfects us and makes us like him. Okay, fantastic. We're going to move on to group life now, which I'm really excited about. All these people up here are the fantastic leaders of groups. I hope you don't mind your photo being up there. I found them all on Facebook, so you can't mind them being public too much. I was going to go straight into talking about the practicalities, what our vision is behind groups, why we do groups, why we love to be part and doing groups. We have 12 fantastic groups beginning this term or carrying on. And I wanted to talk through each one of those. But as I was praying, I felt God tell me to slow down a little bit and just to take a step back and look at why it's so important to be in groups together, why it's so important to be in community, and more than that, why it's so important to be in church. Because the church is a community of believers. So I'm just going to spend about 20 minutes now just looking at a verse in Ephesians and just explaining why the church is such an amazing thing to be part of and why we're all so privileged to be members of it. So I'm going to read Ephesians 3, verses 1 to 13. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it is now being revealed to the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The mystery is this, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness to access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would speak to us today. I pray that you'd stir our hearts and minds. I pray that you'd open up your living and active word to us, King Jesus. In your precious name, Lord. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to focus on one verse for the next 20 minutes. It's one of the most amazing verses in the whole of Scripture about the church. And it's just, yeah, I just love it. I've loved getting into it over the last few weeks as I've just started to think about this. And the verse is verse 10. And it reads, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Even just before I look at that verse and go into whatever it means, it's an incredible thought that the church is revealing God's wisdom to all of creation. It's incredible. I mean, just think about it. The church, are revealing God's wisdom to all of created things. First of all, let's look at the church. What is the church? Many people in our culture look at the church as a building. So I'm going to the church. My funeral is going to be at the church. My wedding is going to be at the church. It's related to as a building, but that is never the way in New Testament times. The word in New Testament times is a word, ecclesia. Ecclesia means assembly. That's what the church is. It's an assembly of people together, joined together. It's a gathering of God's people. It's God's assembly. That's what the church is. It's both local and it's universal. What that means is it's local. We are a church. The New Testament uses the word church, ecclesia, as a local church, a congregation together. We are the church. But it's also a worldwide connection together, a worldwide body where all the churches who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour are joined together in one body. It's amazing, isn't it? We are joined together as the church. On Friday, we had a prayer meeting and we Skyped in Nathan Adams from Munich into the prayer meeting. And we were connected into the body on a wide universal scale. And it was just something of the picture of what the universal church looks like that we are members and part of. And it's exciting to think that we are members of a body that is meeting all over the world today in every different nation. As Stanley shared with us earlier, you know, every tribe, every nation is joining together. God is reaching into every nation of the world and drawing us all into one assembly, one body that at the end of time will come together at the feet of Jesus. It's incredible. It's incredible truth to think that we are part of that. But it's deeper than just an assembly where we are joined together and we come together and we're different people, we're individuals. A common analogy in the scripture for the church is the body of Christ. And there's a number of passages. There's one in Ephesians. Ephesians 4 talks about the body of Christ, but also Romans 12 and Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 12 also talks about the body of Christ. And it goes, and there's this verse in Romans 12, verse 5. And it reads this: "So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." Okay, so that's a bit of a mind-boggling thing, because I am an individual person. I'm not Duncan's knee. I'd be a better knee than your knee. So I am an individual, but at the same time, I am connected to you in a way that is deeper than just me meeting you on a Sunday. In Corinthians and Romans, it talks about the different people being joined together who have different giftings and different skill sets, but are all together as part of one body. We're connected together like ligaments, so like ligaments connecting to the bones and hearts, and all of us are different, but we all need to be together, and we all need each other for us to work properly. It's not... In our culture, we have quite an individualistic thing where actually I can manage, I can do it, I am gifted in this way. But actually, the Bible is not like that. The Bible connects us together as all relying on each other for success. Do you know there's that verse in Jeremiah 29 that talks about the promises of God for you to prosper you, to see good come to you? That verse is spoken over a congregation of people. Now that changes the meaning of it, and I'm not saying it can't be spoken over an individual person, because God knows your individual circumstances and your needs. But it's actually when it's brought into the body, God works out his promises and his plans for people. The church, together, rely on each other in order to work and function properly and do life properly. I rely on you being here and being part of the church for me and my life to succeed. You rely on me being here for the same thing. And it's the same thing across the whole body. It's not just the preachers that rely on you to come, or it's not just you who rely on the preacher to come. It's all of us. We all have a function that we play as part of the body. And without you, we do not function as effectively as we could. That's the reality. You get saved by Jesus and added into his body. He is the head. He is the wisdom, he is the one that we look to, he is the one that we adore, but we, as we join together, support each other through the trials and tribulations of life. We join with each other and we celebrate each other's joys, and we stand with each other and we mourn with each other's losses. That's because your loss is my loss, my gain is your gain. That's what the body of Christ is, and it's an incredible thing. So what is the mystery that is being revealed, the manifold wisdom. What manifold wisdom can be revealed through the church? The manifold wisdom, it talks in verse 6. It says in verse 6, "This is the mystery, that the Gentiles are now fellow heirs, members of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." The mystery and the manifold wisdom of God, God's wisdom is being made known through salvation, through the gospel. The fact that God came down, died on a cross for you in your place, your sins taken off you, put onto Christ, his goodness taken off him and put onto you, his perfection, that is the manifold wisdom of God. The fact that you were alienated from God, separated from him, but now, because of Jesus, you are restored to relationship where he is your father, you are his son and daughter. That is the manifold wisdom of God that is being made known. The gospel is the manifold wisdom of God. It's his plan at place, at work in all of us that is revealing God's wisdom to all created beings. That's salvation. But it goes deeper than that. The fact that it goes beyond the Jews to the Gentiles and connects them together in this body that we've spoken about, that is the manifold wisdom of God. Where there is separation, the Jews and the Gentiles, the Jews were always God's chosen people, his chosen nation, all the way through the Old Testament. That's the way it was. And they were called to reveal the goodness of God to other nations, but it wasn't the same as what was bought and purchased through the blood of Christ. What was bought was that all nations come together in one body. All different people are connected together as one. There's a verse in Galatians 3:28. And it says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." That's incredible. All of us, with all of our differences, are connected together. And as we are connected together and forgiveness comes in and the grace of God comes in and we are all drawn together, God's manifold wisdom, his many folds of wisdom, his multicolored wisdom, his wisdom that will never change, his wisdom that we'll always be learning and expanding our knowledge about, that's being revealed. It's incredible. Does anyone else think that's incredible? Does anyone else think that's amazing? That I can be connected with you, you can be part of my body, whether you're abled or disabled, whether you're black or white, whether you're old or young, whether you are, there's more differences between us. Anyone else got any differences between us? Man or woman. Yeah, that was in the verse 328. Yeah, we're all connected together in one body. Now, this only works and only reveals scripture if we realize that this verse in Galatians 3:28 is not saying that we are all the same. It only works if we realize it says that we are all different. Yeah. We are all different. That's the reality. We're all individuals. We're all different. We've grown up in different cultures. We've got different backgrounds. We've got different parents. We've got different lives. We are all different. But the manifold wisdom of God is that all of that is connected together in one body. It's incredible. It's amazing. And it becomes even more amazing when we start looking at who is revealing the manifold wisdom of God to. Because I have always misread this verse. This verse is not saying that the church connected together is revealing God's manifold wisdom to the demons and the devil and Satan. It is doing that. The fact that we have freedom, the fact that Christ has brought salvation, it's revealing God's manifold wisdom to the fallen angels, to the demons, to those in hell. It's revealing God's manifold wisdom. But that's not what this verse is saying. It's not saying that we as the church are revealing God's manifold wisdom to other human beings, although we are doing that. We as the church, connected together in this body, are revealing God's goodness and his good plan together to the broken and fallen world. The fact that we're connected together, all our differences coming together, it reflects the goodness of God. It adds questions. Why are you hanging out with these different people? They're very different to you. Why are you friends with them? Why this? Why that? This person's got different political viewpoints. How can you connect with them? Because Jesus has joined me together in a body with them. And we will sharpen each other, we will change each other, we'll have disagreements, but we will grow together because the unity of God is in this place. And we are reflecting God's goodness to this fallen world. But this verse is not saying that. This verse is saying that we as the church joined together are reflecting God's goodness to the angelic realm, the angels and all who are in authority. The angels, not just the lowly angels, the angels which are the archangels, the ones who are in charge of God's armies in the heavenly realms. It's revealing God's goodness to them. Now, this is mind-boggling. These created beings, which I believe were created before we were, have spent generation after generation in God's presence. And yet we, the church, are still revealing God's manifold wisdom to them. That means no matter how long you spend in God's wisdom, in his presence, we will always still continue to grow in the knowledge of who God is. Even throughout all of eternity, is that not exciting? That we will go and be with God, and we will always continually have new things of God revealed to us throughout all of eternity. We'll still be learning and growing. And these angels that are in heaven are still learning and growing about the goodness and the wisdom of God. And they're still growing in knowing God's character, his goodness towards them. It's just incredible that these angels that are in God's presence want to look down at the broken world. There's a verse in 1 Peter which says that they want to stoop down in order to look in on the church, because it reveals God's goodness to them. Angels have never fallen. They've never gone away from God. The angels in the heavenly realms have never fallen. They've never needed the cross of Jesus. They've never needed to be forgiven. And so they look at us. Those angels saw a third of the angels fall from heaven, and there was no redemption plan for them. So when God created us and then they saw us fall, those angels probably thought, nah, well, never mind. Sorry about that. But then they see the King of Glory that they've always known as creator and maker. They see Jesus, who they've always known in his glory, come down to this earth as a human, as one of us, and die on a cross in our place so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be saved, so that the gospel can be made known to all of us. Wow. No wonder the angels are amazed by this. But as we join together, that's what we are doing. This world tells us, in fact, no, not this world, our culture, the Western culture tells us that the church is shrinking, that it's losing its influence, that it's not important. Let me tell you, church, it's a lie. The church is an eternal plan of God that will last in all eternity, that will continue to grow across the whole nations. It's revealing God's goodness, not just to the physical world, but to the spiritual realms. All of created order is having the wisdom of God revealed to it by the church joining together. That's why when someone tells me that they're a Christian, but they don't need to go to church to be a Christian, I say, no, you're wrong. You may believe in Jesus, wonderful, and that is your salvation. But to live effectively as a Christian, you have to be in a church. You have to be part of the church. You have to be a member of the church. Because if not, you're just acting selfishly. You're keeping all the good gifts that God has given you to yourself. You're weakening the church by not being a member of it. You're not partaking in revealing God's goodness to the heavenly realms if you choose to opt out of church. Okay. So I've kind of gone into one there. But this is why the church is so important. And this is the foundation that I have as to why I believe that being part of groups is so important. Because I love meeting with you on Sunday. But actually what we're called to is we're called to do life together really well. We're called to live and support each other through everything. We're called to pray for each other, be with each other, enjoy God together. We're called to reflect God's goodness. I just want to, can you take it to the next screen? Okay, these are all the leaders of the life groups coming up over the next term. They're not actually all, I couldn't find all the pictures. But look at all the different people that are up there. Different ages, different races, different family settings, different backgrounds. What's going to happen is God's perfect radiant light, God is light, is going to shine through each one of these people and reflect his light in a slightly different way. And they're going to lead their groups in a slightly different way because of the way God has made them. When you're joining a group, you're joining the group because of what it is, because you share passions with these people. The way that we do groups is mainly passions that we have that then come into those groups. We like to encourage leaders to have a passion and to lead out of that passion, to hear about what God is speaking to them and then doing something about it. So their different passions will come out, and that will reflect God's mighty, manifold wisdom in a different way. But I just love what we're building here, because this is all the different leaders of the church. It's not all the leaders of the church, it's all the different leaders of the groups. And it just really reflects what this passage is calling us to do. To build a church that's together, that will reflect God's manifold wisdom, his multicolored wisdom. Okay, let's just look at the last slide. These are the 12 groups that we've got going on, and I'm not going to go through each one of them, but they're all on the website. So if you go to trinitylondon.org, all of these groups are there to be connected to. There's an exciting group. I'm very excited about the choir beginning this term. Manuela and Shane are going to lead that. And I'm really excited because they want to build a choir for Christmas, which means if you're a very festive person, you get to start singing Christmas carols anytime now. Christmas is nearly here, right? That group's for people who can sing, so I wouldn't be going anyway, but I like the idea of it. Another group that's beginning, that's a new group, is Engage. So Pete and Linda are going to lead a group, which is helping us grow in our spiritual giftings. And I think that's a really exciting group. If you want to grow in what God has got for you and put inside of you as part of the body, Pete and Linda are going to lead a group that is growing and sharing that with each other. Another exciting one is the Trinity 20s. So for anyone who is 20s, I see a little row that's excited there. But that's for anyone. They're going to meet at Duncan's house, I think, fortnight. We're going to work it out. They're going to meet at Duncan's house. We're still working it out. But it's going to be a really good time for people of that age and generation to get to know each other, to challenge each other, to enjoy each other's company, and just to grow in fellowship. We've got a Trinity social group. So if you just like doing socials, they're going to meet on a Sunday, come together. We've got a Trinity Mummies group. So if you're someone with young children, babies and toddlers, and you want to get together, they meet weekly on a Thursday. Sandy leads that. She leads that fantastically well. That's been running a little while, but I know Zoe really values that, and it really has changed the way she parents as well in a great way. You have always been a fantastic mummy. But we all support each other through as part of the body, right?
Yeah.
fantastic. But let me just really encourage you, just as I close right now, just think about what I've said today. Think about how important it is to reflect the glory of God together. And then go on the website and commit to one or two groups. Say, I'm going to join these groups and I'm going to commit to them. I'm going to be part of them and I'm going to be part of the body. Okay. If you have any questions about any of these groups, please talk to me. I encourage the leaders to talk to people. So if the leaders come to you and say, oh, come and join my group, it's amazing. Don't be surprised. That's what I encourage them to do. But yeah, it's going to be a really exciting term. I'm really excited about what we're building here. And these groups are going to add to that.